Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Ministry Prayer Line. I know that the Lord is good, and he is worthy to be praised. And I will pray something from Spirit of Prophecy until others have joined us, as we're waiting for our brothers and sisters to come and join us. I will play a short clip. Amen.
Chapter 5, Consecration. God's promise is
ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The whole heart must be yielded to God, or the change can never be wrought in us by which we are to be restored to his likeness. By nature, we are alienated from God. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in such words as these: dead in trespasses and sins. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, no soundness in it. We are held fast in the snare of Satan, taken captive by him at his will. God desires to heal us, to set us free. But since this requires an entire transformation, a renewing of our whole nature, we must yield ourselves wholly to him. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. The government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon a blind submission and unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now and let us reason together is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. God does not force the will of his creatures. He cannot accept an homage that is not willingly and intelligently given. A mere forced submission would prevent all real development of mind or character. It would make man a mere automaton. Such is not the purpose of the Creator. He desires that man, the crowning work of his creative power, shall reach the highest possible development. He sets before us the height of blessing to which he desires to bring us through his grace. He invites us to give ourselves to him that he may work his will in us. It remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from the bondage of sin to share the glorious liberty of the sons of God. In giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that would separate us from him. Hence the Savior says, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up. Mammon is the idol of many. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is a golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation and worldly honor are worshipped by another class. The life of selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is the idol of others. But these slavish bands must be broken. We cannot be half the Lord's and half the world's. We are not God's children unless we are such entirely. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey his law, to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be so filled with his love, with the joy of communion with him, that it will cleave to him, and in the contemplation of him, self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With earnest desire, they yield all and manifest an interest proportionate to the value of the object which they seek. A profession of Christ without this deep love is mere talk, dry formality, and heavy drudgery. Do you feel that it is too great a sacrifice to yield all to Christ? Ask yourself the question, given for me. The Son of God gave all, life and love and suffering, for our redemption. And can it be that we, the unworthy objects of so great love, will withhold our hearts from him? Every moment of our lives we have been partakers of the blessings of his grace, and for this very reason we cannot fully realize the depths of ignorance and misery from which we have been saved. Can we look upon him whom our sins have pierced, and yet be willing to do despot to all his love and sacrifice? In view of the infinite humiliation of the Lord of glory, shall we murmur because we can enter into life only through conflict and abasement? The inquiry of many a proud heart, is, why need I go in penitence and humiliation before I can have the assurance of my acceptance with God? I point you to Christ. He was sinless, and more than this, he was the Prince of Heaven. But in man's behalf, he became sin for the race. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. But what do we give up when we give all? A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his own blood and save by his matchless love. And yet men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that he does, he has the well-being of his children in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that he has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Man is doing the greatest injury and injustice to his own soul when he thinks and acts contrary to the will of God. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by him who knows what is best and who plans for the good of his creatures. The path of transgression is a path of misery and destruction. It is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see his children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of man. Our Heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of his creatures. The divine requirements call upon us to shun those indulgences that would bring suffering and disappointment, that would close to us the door of happiness in heaven. The world's Redeemer accepts men as they are, with all their wants, imperfections, and weaknesses, and he will not only cleanse from sin and grant redemption through his blood, but will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear his yoke, to bear his burden. It is his purpose to impart peace and rest to all who come to him for the bread of life. He requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. The true joyous life of the soul is to have Christ formed within the hope of glory. Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with him. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go, but if you stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for who you are. We thank you, O Father, for being such a wonderful Savior. Is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me, to each and every one of us. We thank you, O Lord, for what you have done. You gave of yourself, selfless love, O Father, for us erring children, oh Father. You loved us so much that you empty heaven for us. And we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify. We magnify your name, Lord. We ask you to help us as we come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, oh Father, as our faith is strengthening day by day, as we're drawing closer and closer for your soon appearance. Oh, Father, help us to be like thee. Help us to be holy, perfecting holiness in our character, oh, Father. We give up our will, oh, Father, to you. We ask that you will mold us and shape us into the man, the woman, the child, the grandparents, the grandfather, mother, cousin, niece that you will have us to be. May we have the Christ-like character, not only in word, but also in deed, oh, Father, not be deceived, Lord. Bless us again. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, O Father. Bless the speaker or the message at the hour, O Father, that it will enlighten us, that it will draw closer that we will draw closer to thee, O Father, that it will point us to the one and only Savior, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify, we magnify your name, O Lord, because you are truly worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray with honor and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Again, happy, blessed Sabbath to each and every one of my brothers and sisters. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be worshipped, and he's worthy for his praise and adoration. And I will read Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Three says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy disease, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen. Our youth are being renewed. Our strength is being renewed. Amen. Like the eagle. Eagles are very swift. They soar high, and they can see all around them. Amen. So we just thank the Lord for his mercy, his goodness, his loving kindness towards each and every one of us. And I just want everyone to be able to give their testimony, prayer request, scripture reading. So please press 1 if you would like to share at this time so that I can open your line. Amen. So press 1 to be able to share, and I'll read Psalms 138. It said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. The gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word. Above all thy name. Amen. Amen, amen. Please press 1 if you would like to share either a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, or if you would like to pray or have a song of meditation. This is the time of sharing, brothers and sisters. So press 1. So that I can open your line, and happy and blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. I just want to welcome you this evening. Amen. Okay, I will go ahead and read something else as we're waiting for others to join us. Again, if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, now is the time that you're is able to share. So press 1. And this is taken from... the devotion, God's amazing grace. It said, battles are to be fought every day. A great warfare is going on over every soul between the prince of darkness and the prince of life. As God's agent, you are to yield yourself to him that he may plant and direct and fight the battle for you. So we want God to plan. We want him to direct and the battle for each and every one of us. Say, with your cooperation, amen? So we have to give him the approval. We have to cooperate with him because he will not fight a battle that we doesn't want him to fight or that, you know, our hearts are not in it. Continue. The Prince of Life is at the head of his work. He is to be with you in your daily battles with self. And self, you know, the battle with self is the greatest battle that we will be fighting. They may be true to principle. That passion, when warning for the mastery, may be subdued by the grace of Christ, that you come off more than conqueror through him that has loved us. Jesus has been over the ground. He knows the power of every temptation. He knows just how to meet every emergency and how to guide you through every path of danger. So, and it's also taken in Daughters of God, page 160. So we have to trust in the Lord because he's been, you know, in the path that we have been. He knows all the secret agency of evil, and he knows how to overcome them. But we have to trust in the Lord, and we have to call upon him and ask him to help us. As we go through our trials, we go through our battle. He said he won't give us, you know, he'll give us enough to bear, and we have to be strengthened through him to be able to bear our burdens. But he's not going to give us too much. Sometimes we take upon ourselves, you know, things that we ought not to take upon ourselves or to do or to say. We take it upon ourselves, and we run ahead of God. And, you know, when we know that we have done that, we have to ask for forgiveness. Amen. So I will open the first line. Again, please press 1 so that you can share and give your testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, and song of meditation. 518-951. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Okay. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. Thank you for opening my line. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. I just want to give thanks and want to say thank you, Sister Carla, for last night to be there as my, you know, the one that you was there, as you call, you were there to answer and to help on the lens. I just want to thank God that God have you using you in this form. And I just want to thank you all for praying for me because last night I was feeling well, brothers and sisters on the line. But, you know, God answers prayer, and he knows what we need. So I must say that I'm doing, feeling much better, and I thank you all for prayer. Brothers and sisters, God is good. He's so great. We do not know the minute and the hour when anything will happen. But if we keep our eyes upon you and trust you, you are able to lead us and also to guide us. And I just want to be thankful and grateful to God for keeping me throughout the 6 days and to allow me to see another brand new Sabbath where I can come before his throne with my brothers and sisters that we can give praises for. And I mostly want to rejoice this evening because I could be home today and heard a sad news. And my daughter actually was going to her appointment, and there was somebody who ran in her back. And, you know, God is so good to keep her that she was able to park the car, put the car in parking, and, you know, no one was in front of her, that if anyone was in front, you know, or if she was near to the car in front, it would be actually another great accident. But God is so good. Despite of what happened, she is okay. And the lady hit and run. She did not stop for them to come out and hear. No, she spoke, but after she run, she drove away. So, you know, I give God thanks that her life is spared. And you know what? She is not really into any pain. Just pray that God will touch the body, because sometimes when you get a little shake up, it may not happen at the same time, but you know it happened after. But I just ask for prayer, and I pray and give God the praise, because he's worthy to be praised. Brothers and sisters, the time is winding up, and as I heard it a while ago when they were sharing the quote on their our will, you know, God wants us to give him his will. And if we give him his will, you know, he is able to strengthen us and to allow us that we can able to do his will, not what our will want, but his will, because his will be within us so that he will strengthen us. So I thank God for that. And I just ask for prayer for the entire family, brothers and sisters, you know, and especially our precious children that we are catering to, both in Jamaica and everywhere we go, you know, with this project, the children, and also the other individuals who are responsible down there. Want to say thank you, thank us for, you know, even remembering them so that we was able to send some stuff for them, and we are planning a big project, and God is so good. His Sabbath, he provides for everyone, and I know that when he was doing his ministry and when the multitude came down upon him, you know, and the disciples want him to send away those multitudes, he told the disciples, put them to sit. And he put them to sit and all sit in groups, and God was able. He make a way. The food was right there so that he was able to feed them. So God wants us to feed not only with the spiritual word, but physical word. And where the need is, and we can do it. So I am thankful to every brothers and sisters, especially the Advent Light, Lord, for the project and, you know, that we have been doing, and we asking God to pour out his blessings. You know, I remember early there, the Sabbath is good news. Sister Carla went to Belize. She had done a little work over there. Brother Eugene also do a little work. These people need our prayer. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters, let us remember them. I will just offer a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this blessed Sabbath day to rejoice in the Sabbath, Lord, because we know you have done good things on the Sabbath day. You went into the temple and you healed the sick, Lord. You went into the cornfield and you plucked that corn, Lord Jesus. You did good and you said it's best for us to do good than to do evil. So help us, Lord, that we will able to look out and to take care of our brothers and our sisters, our nieces, our grandchildren, our cousins, Lord, that we will able to supply them. They're all over the world, dear Lord. They are where we are living and all over the world. Help us, Lord, that we will be willing and ready as we present your word, aggressive evangelism, and share your words to those out there, Lord. We ask you to help us. And Father, we thank you for what you have done. You have done so much things, Lord, even with the crisis that is going on and all the pastors who stood up, Lord, and said, no one have any authority to force these mandates upon God's children. And the government is also talking the vaccine manager, they also are talking down, Lord, that, you know, they drop their mandates and all these things is happening, dear Father. We just want to thank you, Lord. You have mandate, Lord, this Sabbath, And this Sabbath, dear Father, is mandated from creation. And we notice that it has not been worshipped the way it should. And it will be a test, dear Father. Help us, Lord, that we can go out to preach this Sabbath about the Sabbath and to draw others to you so that people in this whole world know that the Sabbath is not only for the Seventh-day Adventist members, but it's for all the people over the world, Lord, to come and to praise you and to worship you in this on the Sabbath, and that will be the test. So we ask you, Lord, to allow us that we will be faithful, that we can go out and present these messages, Lord, to bring your children to the truth. You said you love when we settled in the truth, so your truth supposed to be preaching, presenting all over the world. So I just want to give you thanks for this truth, the words of truth, Lord. Bless and keep us, Lord. We present Sister Carla to you. Continue to pour your blessings upon her, Lord, as her determination is to follow you always. And as she do your work, Lord, your service, I do know that others is going to come to know you more through the ministry that you have given unto her. Bless her, bless Amanda and Nicholas, Lord. My mind run on them even last night, Lord. And I'm asking you, Lord, to continue to pour out your blessings upon them. Allow them to be lighter of this world. And as young people, and you call them to the fore, dear Lord, I present Nicholas and Amanda, not only she alone, Carjan, KJ, Lord, you know everything. And Maria, Lord, Jarvis, and Shiloh, dear Lord, I present them, brother, Eli, team, Javel, Johari, and Jamel, Hishma, and Pasiana, dear Father, all who he is praying for. Lord, I lift up Sister Karen's children. Lord, I lift them up to you. Those young girls who stood up, Lord, in Washington, D.C., dear Father, rejecting the mandate, I lift them up to you. Help them to be faithful to you, dear Lord. And also strengthen their parents, that their parents will not be one forcing and pushing their children, Lord, to do things that the children's conscience doesn't give them. So we lift them up to you. We also lift up to you, Brother Udi, the store, the family over there, Brother Bernard and his crew, Lord, we lift them up. Father, and all the mission and work that is going over there, we lift them up, Lord. Brother Rick, and we lift with Ashley and his other children and also the church, Lord. That family, we lift up Sister Leola family. We lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John family, Lord, and all the families on this line. You know every name. Sister Tamika family, Sister Payne family, Sister Lynn family, Sister Consinella family, Brother O'Neill family. Lord, we lift up all family members to you, dear Lord. You know their need and what their desire. So tonight, dear, as we come boldly to the throne, we ask you to pour your sweet Holy Spirit on us. We lift up the word that will be coming straight from you, dear Father. We ask you to bless the church and the leadership of the church and allow them, Lord, that they will present what is right in the sight of you and what you have given unto them to preach, Lord, and not to be afraid, Lord, because we know that, dear Father, the time is coming up when your truth have to be teached to all the whole world. You said until it reached to all the nation, then your coming will be near. So, Father, we want to thank you. We ask you to bless and keep, guide, and protect us, we pray. And thank you for your healing power towards my body last night. And, Lord, you are still working with me, Lord. You know everything, but I leave my life in your hand. Thank you for hearing, answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on and praying, and thank you for the reading. And I just thank the Lord for your ministry also and all that you do. on the line and off the line, and for the children in Jamaica and also those in the community. You're truly a blessing, and I just praise the Lord for you and each and every one of my brothers and sisters and how the Lord is working through you to finish the work. We all have work to do in our neighborhood, in our communities, in our family, in our homes. We all have a work to do, so we have to ask the Lord to help us and to strengthen us. Amen. I will go to the next caller. Again, brothers and sisters, happy Sabbath. Thank you for joining us this evening. I will open the line for 518-482. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Okay. Good evening, my brothers and sisters.
Good evening.
What a wonderful day it is today. During this week, I celebrated another birthday. Another milestone. And I'm very happy. I'm very happy that God has saved my life and has kept me alive, that I am enjoying a kind of a good health, I must say, because I'm not sick. So if I'm sick, the Lord knows, but I'm enjoying a good measure of health and strength, a little aches and pains here and there sometimes, but nothing to, keep me down. So I just want to thank God for giving me such a beautiful, beautiful day. And I want to tell Sister Powell that after my birthday that evening, I could not sleep because I thought about Daisy over there. And I went over there. I took one bottle of water because I didn't want to fetch nothing loaded with me. So I took one bottle of water and I went over to my neighbor there. To Sister Powell's neighbor. And she was lying down there. She was so happy to see me. And I went and I was just impressed to go and visit her because I was calling her and she wasn't answering. And then Sister Powell was telling me that she wasn't seeing her, right? So I said, you know what? I'm going to take a walk over there. And I did walk because the place was kind of a cold, but I just geared up myself, and then I went traveling over there. And she was so happy to see me. She was bright. She was feeling much better. She said she's here, and she's getting up and trying to do a little thing for herself, and I was happy to hear about that. And then I left, and I told her that I would be visiting her another day. But I brought this one bottle of water for you to stop drinking those soda that you're drinking there because you are on dialysis. And that would not be good for you to, for you to use. And she says, okay, she will try that. I said, I'll come back and bring maybe some water for you in a few more days, okay? So she was very glad to see me. So Sister P, your neighbor is in good spirits and she's still trying. Okay? All right. Well, today I want to speak about there's so much things on my mind to talk about, but I just want to talk about some of the miracles that Jesus did when he was here on earth. He healed Peter's mother-in-law disease. He healed the 10 lepers, the centurion servant. We know all about that. The demon possessed, with those who are possessed with devils. Nine say the many, he healed many. After the Sabbath was over, he went over to the other shore because he had to get away from some of the people. But Jesus, in all I want to say, Jesus did a lot of miracles. And these miracles were done. He had compassion on people and he healed them. Matthew records all these miracles that Jesus did. When you want to be, you can observe certain things. Jesus takes our suffering on himself. Just think about it. And he carries our diseases. But it takes faith to see that Jesus can help us. Many people don't know that Jesus can help us. You have to have what? Faith. You have to have faith. And if we don't have faith in Jesus, nothing can be accomplished. If we want to be healed, all these number of people that Jesus healed, these numberless people that Jesus healed when he was here on earth, they had to get faith in him. And I want to tell you about this. Some years ago, I heard about a man some years ago who was rolling a wheelbarrow back and forth across the Niagara River on a tightrope. Maybe you heard about that. Thousands of people were shouting at him. He put the 200-pound sack of dirt in his wheelbarrow and rolled it over, and then he rolled it back. Then he turned to the crowd and said, "How many of you believe I can roll a man across?" Everybody shouted. One man in the front was very excited about his professed belief. The man pointed to his excited professor and said, "You're next." You couldn't see that man for dust. He said he believed it, but he thought he believed it. But he was not willing to get in that wheelbarrow. Just so with Jesus, my dear brothers and sisters, there are many people who say that they believe in Jesus, who say that they will follow him, but they never have gotten into that wheelbarrow. There are many people who ask, how much faith does it take? Jesus said, only the faith as of a grain of mustard seed. And we know that the mustard seed is a very small seed. Others ask, what kind of faith? There is one kind really. It is the object of the faith that counts. What is the object of your faith? The object of your faith must be Christ, not faith in rituals, not faith in sacrifices, not faith in morals, not faith in yourself, not faith in anything but Jesus Christ. So that is my little application little story that I'm telling you there today about the faith that God had. And these people had to have faith in Jesus, because if they did not have faith in Jesus, they could not be healed. And many of the people that were there watching this man walking on the tightrope, they think they wanted to do that. They think they had faith. But when they come to grips and he said, "Get in there. Which one of you are going to get in this wheelbarrow?" How many of them tried? Not everybody run. There did nobody take up the challenge. So today, we have to have a lot of faith in Jesus. And this afternoon, I learned that a friend of mine, her husband passed away. And she cannot go home to bury that friend, bury her husband. And I feel very sorry for her, because I know what it is to lose loved ones. We all know what it is to lose loved ones. And somebody as dear as her husband, and she couldn't make it home. I think he buried this afternoon, and she couldn't go back to bury her husband. So I think that was very, very sad. That was a very sad affair. And my dear brothers and sisters, these are things that happen in over and over. People are dying. People are dying every single day. People who you don't even expect are passing away. And what are we doing? What are we doing? I feel so sad for my sister. But, I told her that, God is in. God is there. God will comfort her. I pray that God will give her the comfort she needs at this time, and that she will keep trusting God. As for me, as I expect anything at any time, anything that comes, I will feel it for a moment, because death is a thing, the Bible says. And when that comes to any one of us, we will feel it, but we have to have faith and trust in him. We have to have faith and trust in Jesus. if our faith is not grounded in Jesus, we will bend under these things, you know. But you have to know that none of us is here to stay, and you have to prepare your being. Build up your mind. Some people say, no matter what you do, you can prepare for death. That may be true, but I know that I can prepare for death. I don't know about anybody, because I'm not here to stay, and I expect others are going to leave me. Some we have to leave one another unless we all get some accident and we all die together. But we have to leave this world one by one. And God is very good to all of us. We are still here. During the week, He has kept us safely. And, you know, I am happy that I can come on this line this afternoon to give God a praise. And we can only have victory, victory in Jesus. And I would like to sing this song. And Victory in Jesus is an old song. I've heard the old story. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. So this evening I want to sing this old gospel song. It goes like this. And if you know it, you could join in with me in singing. I heard about the old story, how He said He came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood is burning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing for revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about the mansion He had built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And some said about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to the victory beneath the cleansing flood. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is my little encouragement to you this evening, on this beautiful Sabbath evening, that you have to have faith in Jesus, faith in His word. And as we study, we are going to be blessed, and our faith would build up. So when the trials and temptations of this life comes to us, we will be victorious. We will cry, we will sigh, and we will feel whatever sin in this world is painful. We will feel it. But we have to have faith. If you have faith in God, we will be able to shake it off and walk with Him. Get up and walk with your head up in the air, because God is good to all of us. So this is Sister Santinelli from upstate New York. Sister Paula, I'm thankful to you for opening my line yesterday I couldn't, I wasn't feeling too well, but, you know, I was just tired. But God is good. I had a very busy week, all week. So I'm asking you all to pray for myself, my family, and my sister, my niece, who's still lying there, you know. She's still there, the same way. I don't know what is, will be the outcome, but I am just trusting the Lord for everything. So have a wonderful Sabbath, my dear brothers and sisters. All of you on this line, have a wonderful Sabbath. I just want to say, I want to say a short prayer. Father, we come to you this evening on this beautiful Sabbath evening. We thank you that we can come on this line as brothers and sisters to encourage each other with words of comfort. Those who are suffering, Lord, we pray that you will be with them, that you will give them the hope and the help that they need, that they will continue to trust in you, even places where they cannot trust you. I pray this evening, Lord, that you will be with those who are sick, who are lying in the beds of affliction, Father. We don't have words to tell them, but we can encourage them to know that someday, very soon, you are coming to take your faithful ones who are faithful to you to that place where there will be no more sickness, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more death. And let's pray and hope that we all will be there. This evening, Father, I place before you those young people on this line who are listening, Lord. I pray that you will open their minds, open their hearts, that they may be able to understand your word. And as they see the signs around them fulfilling day after day, Father, help them that their eyes may be opened, that they may be able to come back, to return to you, Lord. This is my heart's desire for all the youth who are out there, Father, those who have backslid and those who are just careless over their soul salvation, Father. I pray that you will speak to their hearts and help them that their eyes may be opened and the things of this world will grow strangely dim and they will keep their eyes fixed on you and not on the things of this world, which will soon pass away. Be with those of our elderly who are sick at home, Father, and they need help. Father, this evening I pray that you will send them help. Because when you are here on this earth, you had compassion on everyone, every sick person. You did not leave one straw unturned. You helped all that who were sick. You went into houses to heal those who were oppressed with devils. Father, you was very compassionate and help us too, that as children of yours, you will extend the same compassion to those around us day after day. Bless us tonight, Lord, and bless each one that comes on this line. Help them that they may be a means of encouraging others to live for you, because we know that there will be no power less strong in heaven. See that Brother Yuli and his object that he's, what he's doing there, Father. We pray that you will grant him success. And your word, you have promised to give us success. And I know, Lord, that you are blessing him and bless all the work that has been done around there in wherever he is, Lord. I pray that you will bless those who are helping him, that you will continue to be even with those who are on the line, Sister Paula and the rest of them who are holding this prayer line. Father, help them that they may be able to plan your work and that they will continue to carry on this work, because we do not know how soon we will have this privilege, Father. But help us all to realize that it is a privilege to meet here as people of yours to sing praises and to give you thanks and to pray for those who are sick. Father, I pray that you will continue to be with Sister Powell, continue to strengthen her, Father. Whatever was bothering her, I am thankful to you. I'm giving praise to you this evening for removing whatever the devil was trying to put on her. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen her and give her the help and the hope that she needs, that she will continue with the same zest and power that she's trying to carry on this prayer line. Bless her home, bless her family, and bless all of us on this line tonight, just to follow you. So I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. And I can remember all the names, but Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to hover around us on this line. And this line will continue to prosper and to grow from strength to strength. I just want to thank you, God, for every blessing you have given us on this beautiful Sabbath evening. Bless each one again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Paul.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Yes,
yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for coming on and sharing, and also for the prayer and the song. It's truly a blessing to hear, you know, you share and sing songs, you know, that will uplift us, that will draw us closer to the Lord and remind us, you know, of His soon coming, and remind us of the story that are written in the Bible for each and every one of us to help us to know that, you know, we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. And let us stay faithful. And we will continue to keep you and your family also in prayer. Thank you again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I just want to welcome you this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, so that you can share it. This is the time to share, to encourage others to pray, and just to share your, you know, devotion or your testimony of something the Lord has done for you this week, even today or this year. What have the Lord done for you to strengthen you and to draw you closer? Amen. So I'll go to the next line. 272-770, your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to you, my sister. This is Tymeco from Pennsylvania. God bless you all, my dear brothers and sister, and happy blessed Sabbath to you all. I'm so grateful to the Lord for taking care of me and my family. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, but the Lord still protects His children. So I'm so grateful He places a shield of guardian angels around my family and around my children. My daughter was in a car accident, and I'm so grateful that she's still alive. So I just want to give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory and all the adoration, because He's worthy to be praised. So I would like a prayer for my daughter and prayer for my son, Tony. He's also not feeling well. He contracted the coronavirus. So he told me that he's in quarantine trying to get better. So I'm asking for prayer for my children, for my sister, Marianne, who also is in the hospital. She has a bad heart, and she has high blood pressure. So I'm asking prayer for Sister Marianne, who's sick at this time. And I'm asking for prayer for everyone to be lifted up on this prayer line this precious Sabbath evening, for all my brothers and sisters, prayer for their family and their friends and all of their loved ones. So I thank you so much, and I would like to sing a song, Faith is the Victory. Amen.
Amen.
And can the hills of life be Christians? You Christians rise and press the battle with a knife, shall veil the glorious sky against the fallen fields below. Let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory. We know that overcomes the world. Oh, faith is the victory. On every hand before we fall, on us and dread a rain. Let's take the easy road behind and onward to the fray. Salvation coming on each hand, the troops will get about. The earth shall tremble beneath the tread and echo without a shout. Oh, faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white remnant shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then all would form the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame. Will vanish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Oh, faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glory is victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My sister, I just have one Bible verse I'd like to read before I go. Taken from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and be blessed his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen and amen. God bless you all, my brothers and sisters. I hope you have a blessed and pleasant Sabbath day. Thank you so much. Amen. Love you
amen.
All. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Sister Tamika, for coming on and sharing. And we will keep your daughter in prayer and also your son that he will recover, and your sister and, you know, your whole family and friends, those that are connected to you. We will keep them in prayer. Thank you again for joining us. I will be going to the next caller again. Please press 1 if you haven't shared so that I can open your line so that everyone can get a chance to testify of the goodness of the Lord in their life or in the life of those around them. I will open the line for 631-552. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, can you speak up a little bit?
Yes, pleasant good night. Pleasant good night. Happy Sabbath. Hear me clear now?
Happy Sabbath. Yes, just a little volume, please.
I want to thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. As we sang earlier, said, faithful to another week. God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. I want to read something from the book, Christ's Object Lesson, on the talents. It says, I'm at page 358, paragraph 3 and 4. It says, the work to which, as Christians, we are called is to cooperate with Christ for the salvation of souls. This work we have entered into covenant with him to do. To neglect the work is to prove disloyal to Christ. But in order to accomplish this work, we must follow his example of faithful, conscientious attention to the little things. This is the secret of success in every line of Christian effort and influence. The Lord desires his people to reach the high round of the ladder that they may glorify him by possessing the ability he is willing to bestow. Through the grace of God, every provision has been made for us to reveal that we act upon better plans than those upon which the world acts. they are to show superiority in the intellect, in understanding, in skill, in knowledge, because we believe in God and in His power to work upon human hearts. Paragraph 3 of that one, 5, I mean. But those who have not a large endowment of gifts, let them use what they have, faithfully guarding every weak point in their characters, seeking by divine grace to make it strong into every action of life. We are to live faithfully and loyalty, cultivating the attributes that will enable us to accomplish the work. So Christ is there for us, and He's able to help us as we co-labor with Him in this work, and He's willing to bestow anything that we need to accomplish this work of saving our fellow men. As I share a testimony from one of my co-workers, I saw a man who was reasoning with me, and he was telling me that he was going through a lot. He didn't grow up with his dad, and his mom, he has to leave, and before he reaches 18, he has to leave, and he just sometimes feels all alone by himself, you know. And he's 30 now, and he want to experience life in the fullness. So I tell him, I just take it one day at a time and surrender your will to God. All that you need, He will provide for you. So he asked me questions, and I answered his question, and I tell him to read your Bible and pray and believe that God can be able to work out things in your life accordingly. So I gave him two books. One of the books was Finding Peace Within. That's a book compiled of Step to Christ and others, and The Great Controversy. And I tell him that it's a warfare you're in. And the only way for you to win that warfare, you have to give over your life totally to God. And once you give over your life to God, He will be able to do for you more than you can do for yourself. And he says, I can call you anytime and you can pray with me. I said, no problem. I'm praying for you even now. But you can call me and we can pray together. So I ask you to keep him in prayer and pray that he will find peace in Jesus, because we're living in a world where people are searching and needing answers to their question. The only answer they can find is in the Word of God. And I pray that their spirit will work upon their hearts. Thank you for opening up my line.
Hello? Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry. You're finished?
Yes.
Brother O'Neill?
Are you hearing me clear?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'll sing two stanzas of this song before I go.
Amen. Do you hear me, please?
Okay. It says, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of God. Sweet, holy spirit, sweet, heavenly love. Stay right here with us, filling us with your love. Therefore, these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without the God we love, that we have been realized. When we shall leave this place.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for sharing, and also thank you for that song. Praise the Lord. We will... If you we have time, we'll come back to you for prayer. I know Sister Powell gave us a prayer earlier, but just wanted to see if anyone else would like to share. Please press 1. This is sharing time, brothers and sisters. We want to know how the Lord has blessed you and what the Lord is doing in your life. You know, many is going through trials and up and down at this time, and God is just working within the life of his people, and he's blessing us, and we have to tell of the goodness of God. We have to encourage each other. So I'll go to the line. I believe this is Brother Eli, 857-505. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, beloved. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eva. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Sister Carla. I'd like to thank God, Sister Carla, for his love, for his mercy, because he is good. He's awesome, God. God is awesome. God is worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Carla, tonight. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer. And Sister Carla, please lift up Brother Jahari in prayer because he called me today and he apologized, Sister Carla, but lift him up in prayer. Pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Carla, that he can baptize too. Pray for Brother Jahari that he will be Seventh-day Adventist Church, and please lift up Jill in prayer, Sister Carla. Her name is Jill, too. Lift up Jill in prayer, J-I-L-L. Jill, lift up Sister Jill in prayer. Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for Sister Shania. Lift up Sister Shania in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel is my staff to Sister Carla from my workplace. His name is Daniel, but they call him Antonio. But lift him up in prayer, Sister Carla. Don't forget to pray for Maria. Lift up Sister Maria in prayer, Sister Carla. And Sister Carla, please lift up Brother Jari in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Carla, pray for, I'm praying for Sister Tamiko on this prayer line, Sister Carla. I'm praying for Sister Tamiko that God will bless her. God will deliver her, Sister Tamiko. God will deliver you, Sister Tamiko. Just like Sister Carla say, what matter what you're going through, have faith in the Lord because God is able to do all things, my dear sister. If your son is in New York, my dear sister, God will change your son. God will change your son. Life in the name of Jesus. God will baptize him in the name of Jesus. God will baptize him in the name of Jesus. Hey, Sister Carla, I feel like praying right now. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. God, Heavenly Father, God, we magnify your name, Lord, at this moment, God. God, I want to live for Sister Carla, God, who is hosting the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Carla, Lord. We ask God to come deliver Sister Carla, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Carla, Lord. God, you are good for Sister Carla. God, you are awesome for Sister Carla, Lord. We ask God to come deliver Sister Carla, Lord. God, deliver Sister Carla from darkness, God. God, deliver Sister Carla, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Carla the victory, Lord. God, we're calling you, God, at this moment, God. God, we want to live for Sister Marianne to you, Lord. God, we want to live for Sister Elizabeth, God, who is in the hospital, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask God to touch our Sister Elizabeth right now, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask God, allow Sister Elizabeth, Lord, allow Sister Elizabeth to feel your touch right now, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask God, allow Sister Tamiko, God, to have faith in you, Lord. Allow Sister Tamiko, Lord, to be strong in you, Lord. God, we ask God, allow her to cry out to you, Lord, and say, holy, 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 Lord Almighty, save her. God, we ask you, God, to come deliver her, Lord. God, we want to deliver Sister Tamiko's son, Lord, in New York, Lord. We want to deliver Brother Taiwan to you, Lord. We ask you, God, to change Brother Taiwan, Lord. We ask you, God, to come deliver Brother Taiwan, God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, allow him to go to church, God, on the Sabbath day, Lord. Allow him to go to a sanctuary, Lord. Allow him to go to church, God, on Saturday, Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we ask you, God, to knock a door in his heart, Lord. Brother Taiwan, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to knock a door in his heart, Lord. Knock a door in his heart, Lord, in New York, God. God, we ask you, God, allow him to feel this prayer, Lord. God, we ask you, God, why are we praying for him at this moment, God? Why is Sister Carlos praying for him, Lord? Why is Sister Powers praying for him, Lord? God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, allow him to feel your touch right now, Lord. God, we want to lift Sister Katie unto you, Lord. Allow Sister Katie and God to baptize to Lord. We ask you, God, to strengthen Sister Katie, and we ask you, God, to come deliver Sister Katie and Lord. God, I want to deliver Sister Dorothy. God, I want to deliver Brother O'Neill, God. God, bless Brother O'Neill, Lord, in a special way, Lord. We ask you, God, to watch over Brother O'Neill, God. God, watch over Sister Powers' family, Lord. Watch over Sister Stephanie, Lord. God, watch over Sister Dorothy. We ask you, God, to watch over Sister Dorothy. We ask you, God, to come deliver her, Lord. We ask you, God, allow her to give you thanks, God, and praise, Lord. Come deliver all of us, God. Come deliver us, Lord. God, we ask you, God, allow Sister Carla to do another prayer, God. Allow Sister Carla to do a special prayer for me, Lord, for my mom, God, for the youth too, Lord. We ask you, God, to watch over Sister Carla, Lord. Watch over Sister Power, Lord. Watch over Sister Power. Watch over us, God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, bless Sister Power, Lord. Bless Sister Carla, Lord. God, allow Sister Carla to say Jesus. Lord God, we ask you, God, to come deliver Sister Power, God, in the name of Jesus. Deliver Sister Power, God, in the name of Jesus. God, deliver Sister Power, God, in the name of Jesus. Deliver her, Lord. Deliver Sister Power, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I want to deliver Brother Yudi, Lord. Bless Brother Yudi, God, in a special way, Lord. Watch over Brother Yudi, Lord. Break every chain, God, for Brother Yudi. Break every chain for Brother Bernard Lewis, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Watch over them, God. Strengthen them, Lord. Watch over everyone, God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May God bless you, Sister God, and everyone on the prayer line. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you for that prayer, Brother Eli. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. Amen. Praise the Lord for hearing the prayer. And we know that he, when he hears it, he will answer it accordingly. And he hears our prayer. Sometimes it's wait, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's yes. So we have to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. Amen. Now I will go and answer the other line. Happy Sabbath. I believe this is Brother Yudi. I'm not sure if he's going to give a testimony or into the message or do both at the same time. So just want to welcome each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. We're happy that you can be here with us. So I'll go ahead and open the line for Brother Yudi. Amen. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. Is the caller, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Amen.
Amen. I want to say happy Sabbath to you all. And blessed. Thank you, for Brother Eli, for the prayer. I was listening. I've been trying to call, but the service is a little spotty because I'm here with my wife, the children, Brother Mozart and his mom, and we are traveling to Kentucky. We are actually going to visit Brother Narlin's spot there, the outpost in Kentucky, Brother Narlin Edwards. And we are on the road. We are on the road, and God is good. So I am here, Sister Carla. The service is on and off. I'm available to speak, and I will try to do that. But if it gets too bad, then of course we'll keep trying, or you can play something else. Nonetheless, praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. I have many testimonies. I mean, the testimonies are endless. They are endless. They are endless. If I were to tell them, I would not have room to speak tonight, right? We have started a 7-day juice challenge. We're juicing different fruits, such as carrots, beets, ginger, celery, Caleb says. We are juicing pomegranates, oranges, acai powder, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And so many of individuals have been coming to get their juices. The Tree of Life is really getting busy, and the individuals, the folks that are coming in, cannot have enough of the Tree of Life. And so keep us in prayer. My brothers and sisters, you would have to be here in Arkansas to see what the Lord is doing. And we know that He will provide very shortly the place, the vessel for us to be able to meet together once more, to be able to have our camp meeting as we used to, and to meet in person, no matter what this COVID-19 pandemic is doing. We believe that this is the time. There's no other time for us to come together and to do this work than now, that we are told that we have come to a time where every member of the church should take hold of the medical missionary work. Romans 13:11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep." And the Bible says there's a time for everything. And now is not the time for us to hide our colors. Now is the time for us to display our flag, which is the third angel's message in verity. This is the work that the Lord has given us to do. And the third angel's message includes the various elements that found therein. The health message, the sanctuary message, the faith of God, the commandments of Jesus, the state of the dead. Harry writing 63 says that it is the present truth that the flock needs now. It is not time for us to preach precious truth, although precious truths are good. But the present truth is that which we need now. And so keep us in prayer as we continue to travel. Keep us in prayer. And I'm just going to share a devotional thought quickly. I was reading Luke chapter 22. I want to go with me to Luke 22. And Father, as we open up your word, give us understanding. Amen. Luke 22, notice what the Bible says in Luke 22. And we're going to begin here at verse 47. This is the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. We are told in Desire of Ages that we should spend a single hour each day meditating upon the life of Christ, especially the closing scenes. We are told that when we begin to do this, our confidence in Him will be more constant. We shall be more imbued with His Spirit. This morning I was spending some time in the life of Christ, and the Lord led me to Luke 22, verse 47. Sister Carla, is it time to speak yet or no? Or is it just... Or should I... Sister Carla, I think your phone is on mute. Sister Carla, can you hear me? Yeah, I have 5 bars. So. Sister Carla. All right, well, I'm going to... Gospel at them. It says,
Father, I'm sorry.
Yes, is it time to speak yet, or just testimonies right now?
Yes. Yes, it's time. Please.
All right. So you already prayed.
8:35. Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you. Father in heaven, again, we come before your presence, asking for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. Give us a double portion of your Holy Spirit tonight as we look into your word for these short moments. In Christ's name, amen. Luke chapter 20, verse 47. Luke 22, verse 47. Can we get someone to read verses 22, Luke 22, 47 to 53, please? Sister Carla, can we get a reader?
Amen. Luke chapter 22?
Yes.
Verse 47 to 53. Okay. I will read that. 47 to 53. Okay. Amen. And it... Sorry, just a second. Okay. Again, it's Luke chapter 22, and I'll start at verse 47.
Amen.
And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and draw near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right. Verse 51. And Jesus said unto him, Suffer ye thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elder which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with sword and salve? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power, I'm sorry, but this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Amen.
You said,
amen.
Verse 53. Amen. Did you want me to? 55. Okay, amen.
No, that's it. Amen. We're going to stop there. Yes. Thank you, Sister Carla. So notice what is happening in verse 47, right? You see Christ. What do you see here? We can see many things happening, especially we see Christ even at the point of death. He is in the role of the medical missionary. He's doing a work of healing, even has his enemies are coming after him. Typically, when your enemies are coming after you, your mindset is shifted in the sense where you are on defense mode. But we see Christ here, not necessarily in defense mode as his enemies are coming after him, but you see him in what kind of a mode? Still in the mode of a savior. He is still in a mode of a savior. This is a type of that which God's people will have to go through. Because the 144,000, Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, describes the experience of the 144,000. And the experience of the 144,000 is produced, all right, by the third angel's message. The reception of the third angel's message, not just by theoretical knowledge, but by practical knowledge, Lord help us all, that experience of the third angel's message produces the 144,000 experience. And so notice that we are told that we shall have to go through the 144,000. We'll go through the very closest, right? The closest experience to what Christ experienced at Gethsemane, the 144,000 will go through. Now, this will not be a similar experience to Christ, but it will be the closest experience to what Christ experienced, because she says that we will have to get to a point, or they, 144,000, will have to get to a point where they would rather die than sin. All right? So I want you to understand, let's see what Jesus is doing, and let's see what everyone else around him is doing as this is taking place. Now, what's interesting is that in verse number 40, Jesus sets the scene of what was going to happen. He says, and when he was at that place, he said unto them, he's at Gethsemane, pray that ye enter not into temptation. So he's given us an admonition to pray. And let's notice what this admonition entails. We're going to go to the book of, he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. And notice what he does, okay, because we have to also understand what Christ actually did before this experience in order for him to be able to come, to be able to conduct himself in such a manner. Let me rephrase that, please. In order for Christ to have conducted himself in such a manner where he did not allow this lot to cause him to be so sensitive to a point where he would overreact or to a point where he would react in the wrong way, he had been doing something prior to that so that he was ready to meet the temptations of the enemy. Amen? Notice what the Bible says in verse 40. It says, and when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And then to do anything that he doesn't do, the Bible says in the very next verse, and he was withdrawn from them. He was withdrawn from them. So he understood how to withdraw himself. He understood how to withdraw himself from the things of this life and how to go into a place, into a solitary place, in order that he might prepare himself and get himself ready for that which was to come. And the Bible says that as he withdraw himself, notice what it says in verse 41, it says, and he kneeled down and prayed. Now there's a comma after that. It continues on to say, saying. So now we are seeing a manner of prayer that Christ is praying before one of the most gruesome experiences that he was about to encounter. Bible says he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So understand that he had come to terms prior to this very betrayal that he was going to allow or to accept, better yet, to accept that which was going to be his lot. In other words, Christ had accepted what was going to happen to him before that which happened to him had already happened. And why was he able to do that? Why was he able to come to a position where he could accept this trial, this gruesome trial that he was about to face? By his own disciples, because Christ had come to terms with the fact that God, if you allow it to be done, then it must be your will. In other words, we as Christians must come to a point in our life where no matter how heavy the trial is, no matter how difficult we are suffering, we have to come to terms every morning prior to coming out of our chambers. Lord, not as thy will, not as my will, not as I will, but let thy will be done. Notice what it says in verse 43. And the Bible says, and there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. That's Luke 22, verse 43. So Christ accepts the lot that he was about to face. He tells God that he had come to terms with the fact that he was about to be betrayed by one of his own disciples. And then the Bible says that an angel came and strengthened him. Now this is interesting. I want to read this quotation because this is showing us the discipline of trial. Notice what it says. Who actually came and strengthened Christ at Gethsemane? It was none other than Gabriel. This was no ordinary angel. God did not just send any ordinary angel to come to Christ at Gethsemane. But Christ was sent by God, the chief of angels, Gabriel. Notice what it says in the book, in SC, December 9, 1897. The Bible says, the Spirit of Prophecy says, in the supreme crisis, when heart and soul are breaking under the load of sin, Gabriel is sent to strengthen the divine sufferer and brings him to thread his blood-stained path. And while the angel supports his fainting form, Christ takes the bitter cup and consents to drink its content. Before the suffering one comes up the well of a lost and perishing world, and the words come from the blood-stained lips, nevertheless, man must perish unless I drink this bitter cup. Thy will, not mine, be done. This is the experience that Christ had just experienced before he went through the cross. Before he went through this agony, he was praying. He was asking for God to allow him to come to terms with the fact that his will needed to be done in his life. And we notice, this is a similar pattern in Bible history. I love this similar pattern because whenever you see someone truly praying in the Bible, we see angels sent to strengthen them. Now, I want to show you, this is a similar pattern with this writer, Luke. Luke was the great physician. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to see a similar pattern. Luke was particularly acquainted with the ministry of the angels. Now, you have to understand this because we are told in the book Angels that we need to be acquainted with the ministry of the angels. All right? I want to show you this same concept being repeated in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. No, but notice what the Bible says. We are in Luke chapter 1. One of my favorite chapters in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says. Because Luke, when you want to study medical missionary work, just go to the book of Luke. I am serious, my friend. Because he specifically brings out the medical missionary work in such a way that no other gospel writer does. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Father in heaven, again, we pray for peace and for your angels to be sent even at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, and there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron,
and her name was Alyssa Beth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, while Zechariah was doing the priest's business, his lot was to burn incense before the Lord. And the Bible says, according to the custom of the priest. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So notice he is praying inside, the priest, and the people are praying outside. The priest here is a symbol of Christ. Zechariah is a symbol of Christ. He's a type of Christ. And as Christ is interceding for us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, as our high priest, we are to be interceding. We are to be praying without. Amen? And it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. So we see again this whole concept being repeated in Luke 1 and Luke 22 when Christ is praying. Angels are sent. We see this in the story of Jacob. We see it in the story of Daniel. Over and over again, the Bible shows that intercessory prayer gives the angels permission to act on our behalf. And in fact, we are also told, Ellen White says, that intercessory prayer gives the angels to act on the behalf of others. So we have the power to dispatch heaven. We have the power to dispatch heaven. And Zechariah was no different men than we are. Notice what the Bible says in the book of James. Going to James. James, the fifth chapter. Go with me here, because Zechariah, Daniel, Moses, we are told when Moses' mom prayed and sent Moses in that river in that little basket, we are told that angels watched over Moses. So we see this over and over again in the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says in James 5. We will go to James 5, verse number 17. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought it forth her fruit. So Elias, essentially the Bible is saying, look, every man that prays has the same actual weaknesses as did Elias, who did great things. In other words, the Bible is essentially taking Elias off of the pedestal that we understand him to be on and putting him on the same playing ground and level as we are. We have the same power to shut heaven and to open it up with our prayers. And so this is what Christ was showing as we go back to finish the message here in Luke chapter 22, as we look at the life of Christ, especially the closing scene. Luke chapter 22, we're going to wrap up now. It won't be long. I want to make sure my service does not cut off. Praise God, it's still going on. Luke, the 22nd chapter, again, Christ, in preparation for trials, spent time in prayer. And oftentimes, trials are taking us by surprise because we have not spent time in prayer, because Christ was already revealed that this was going to happen because he had a close relationship with the Father. And the Bible tells us that Gabriel came and strengthened him in order to support him, in order to help him to be encouraged to consent to drinking the contents of this bitter cup. My friend, when we are in ministry, one thing I'm realizing, I've known this a long time, but I see it more aggressive. There's aggressive warfare that the enemy is actually mounting up against those who are in the work of soul saving, and sometimes even our own friends. even people that we would not aforetime think of would do certain things, because that these individuals are not spending time in the Word and time in prayer. They render their minds passive to the enemy of all souls, and they actually become the very weapon, the very agent of Satan in order to attack those who are doing the Lord. Notice what the Bible says, because Judas here is in that position. We were talking last night, and the Lord says, Judas, know you not that you are fulfilling prophecy? We do not want to be on the wrong side of prophecy, my friends. You know, there are two sides of prophecy. We do not want to be on the wrong side of prophecy. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. It's either we are on the right side or on the wrong side of prophecy. And if we allow Satan to possess our minds, we will do his bidding. We will do his work. And so as we're contemplating what's coming, as we're contemplating the Sunday law, as we're contemplating the third angel's message, as we're contemplating these things, know that we are told that the bitterest enemies of Seventh-day Adventists will be their former brethren. And so Judas is in a position of the brothers and sisters who will point the finger at those who are keeping God's commandments, who will point the finger at the former brethren, and who will tell to those who are looking for them, here are they. Here are they where they are hiding. Here's where you can find them. So Jesus is actually setting us up, us understand what we shall be going through, because Paul says that if we desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. Now, I want you to see this. Notice what Jesus says to Judas. This is very, very interesting. As we continue on, the Bible says in verse 44, and being in agony. So this is after Gabriel strengthens Christ to enable Christ to go through this crisis. The Bible says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So notice, as he's hurting more, he's what? Praying more. As he's hurting more, he's praying more. As he's under attack more, he's praying more. The Bible says, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping to sorrow. He found them sleeping for sorrow. The disciples were like, wait a minute, we don't know if we can go through this. We are sorrowful. And so, in other words, they were depressed. They were depressed because they understood that Christ was at the last stage of his earthly ministry. And remember, most of them, their thinking was, are we going to take back the kingdom on earth? So they are sorrowful because they are beginning to see, wait a minute, it almost seems like we're not going to get the power back here on this earth. And so they're looking to Christ. They have a misapprehension, a misunderstanding of the character of God, and so they think that Christ is going to avenge himself on these people and take revenge and vengeance, and so they are sleeping for sorrow. And the Bible says, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray. Again, he mentions that word, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus Christ. Now, I often wonder, why was Jesus not at Gethsemane with him? Why was Judas doing something else? The Bible says a multitude came with Judas and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite him with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest. Now, what was the high priest doing there? The high priest was actually conspiring with Judas. The high priest was conspiring with Judas, with the leadership of Rome, in order to kill Jesus. What we are seeing here is a combination of church and state. We see church and state coming together, high priest coming together with Judas. He's also part of the church. And they are conspiring and counseling with none other than Rome. Now, we see that clearly if you go to John and you look at Christ's last day. It says specifically that the high priest conspire with Rome. And they are getting ready to what? What happens after the church and state unite? Persecution follows. We see persecution follows right after the high priest unites with the worldly powers, and persecution follows. We are seeing here the end of Christ's life really chronicles the last crisis that we are about to face. And the Bible says in verse 48, Jesus said unto them, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about saw him, what would follow? They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite him with the sword? Shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear, medical missionary, and healed him. And then notice what the Bible says, verse 52. Then Jesus said unto the high priest, the chief priests, and the captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with sword and staff. And verse 53 to end. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So notice what Christ says. This is what? Your hour and the power of darkness. So we have to sometimes allow the enemy to have his hour, but understanding that Christ will have his day. The Bible said his day is burning as an oven. And we are told that his day is coming. Day of the Lord shall come. The Bible gives Satan an hour. That's why the Bible says he knoweth that his time is short. He knoweth that he has an hour is a very short time. A day in the Bible is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But the Bible has only given Satan an hour. An hour. So we have to make sure that we are on the right side so that, because an hour is short. And I want to show you this in the book of Hebrews, because the Bible also talks about sin as being pleasurable for a season. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, because the hour is come, right? But an hour is nothing compared to a day, my friend. So we have to understand that Christ says to Judas, look, you have your hour, but I will have my day, right? I will have my day. You can have your hour. I want to read this quotation. Before I read the quotation, we're going to go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And notice what the Bible says, beginning at verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Moses, the Bible is talking about Moses. And Moses is in essentially making a very significant decision to allow God's will to be done and not his will, because Moses was getting ready to be the next general, the next king of Egypt. This was no dumb man. A lot of people read about Moses because the Bible said he had a speech impediment, that he was a dumb man. This was no dumb man. This was a mighty man of power, a military man, who had gotten the highest education that the world had to offer. And he was getting ready to be the next pharaoh of Egypt. And God gave Moses a choice. This is why we each will have to make a choice. And God says, Moses, you have the world the honor, or you have my work. Which shall you see? Same with Christ. Christ was given a choice when the devil took him on the high mountain and said, look at all of these things. I will give it unto thee. Just bow down and worship. He made the right choice. Moses also is given the same choice, but I want to show you why Moses, what Moses understood that had allowed him to see beyond what this world had to offer and to see by faith into the future. The Bible says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, that's an important word, right? Moses made a choice. He chose. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That word season here means temporarily or for a time, right? So Jesus understood this concept, that Moses understood this concept, that suffering part of the lot of the Christian, and that it is for a season. If we pray, God will enable us to go through it. But what did he have in mind? We have to understand that suffering should not cause us to place our minds upon it, but we should see beyond the suffering. That's why the Bible says in the next verse, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he chose to suffer because he saw what? Greater riches ahead. Christ chose to suffer because he saw what? Greater riches. And what were the riches that he saw? He saw you. He saw me. He saw you. He said, look, if Christ did not suffer, we would have all been lost. This world would have gone astray, completely away from God, and there would have been no redeeming for this world. And Christ says, no, I have to suffer in order to redeem. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Did you see that? So in suffering, what did Jesus see? Not the suffering. He saw the joy ahead of the suffering. This is a recipe for going through trials. That you must see beyond the trial. You must be able to see beyond the suffering. You must see the joy that is set before the suffering. Christ shows this throughout this experience at Gethsemane. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friend, if this is the experience that you want to have today, as you ponder these things that it said, as you ponder the cross, as you ponder Calvary, as you ponder the trials that we have to face, let us not look to these trials, but let us look to the joy that is set after these trials. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word and for helping us look into the life of Jesus for a very short time. We ask that you would send your angelic host to be right now with Elizabeth. In the name of Jesus, Father, that you would give her a double portion of your rest and peace. We pray, dear Father, that you would send your angels to be continually in this vehicle, Father,
And we ask that we continue to drive, that you will allow your angels to help us get safely and quickly to our destination. We also pray for those who are on this line who are touched by this message, those who will be listening to the recorded line. We pray that you would help us, Lord, and enable us to overcome. Even as you overcame, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you were blessed, and we all have the power to be overcomer. You know, God gave us all with his strength. We can all be overcomer. Amen. If we take hold of his hand, we know that he will lead us and he will guide us. And as 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my affliction, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And there we see, he said he rather glory in his affliction, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you again, Brother Yudi. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. May we be encouraged and may we be strengthened in each and every day. As we come to the Lord in the morning, may we ask for help and strength for that day and be converted and be broken upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. Again, let us pray. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the message and the messenger. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you have left us as a guide, a comforter, and a counselor. May we take heed, O Father. And may we, as we read the word, as we see that it is sweet within our mouth, but sour in our belly, O Father, knowing that we will have to go through trials, more and more intense trials and persecution. But let us know, Lord, that you are by our side, because you said you never leave us or forsake us. Be with the Calvary family and the Rossier family as they travel, O Father. May your protective angel be by their side. May comfort come upon the children and Sister Melissa and Mother Germany, O Father. Bless them mightily, O Father. Bless them as they go to be ministered unto and to minister unto others, Lord. Fill their cup, even us, Lord. Fill our cup so that we be strengthened to help others, to encourage them, O Father, as we stand between the dead and the living. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We don't deserve it, O Father, but you give it to us freely if we but only ask. Thank you again. Bless us, protect us, and guide us, and keep us, O Father. And I just thank you, Lord, as tomorrow will be my rededication for your love for me and for your faithfulness and for your blessing upon my life, Lord. As I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters and ask you guys also to pray for me as I will begin. I'll be rededicating my life tomorrow again and at Safe to Serve Ministry. So please tune in if you can. God bless. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a valley. than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain.